It's 7 o'clock. Welcome to the City of Shore Acres City Council meeting. It's Thursday, October 13th at 7 p.m. 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Alderwoman Schnell. Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins. Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Moving on to 3.0, special presentation. There are none. 4.0, council reports and requests. There are none. 5.0, public hearing and public comment. 5.1, public hearing. For the purpose of providing citizens the opportunity to comment on the overall fiscal year 2016-2017 budget, including all funds in the general fund and utility fund. So we will start. This is a chance for you to comment on the budget. Do we have any comments?
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Do you think we could move the public comments to after we discuss the budget, just in case anybody has questions?
Yeah, that would be fine.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful. Okay, so we'll move it to after. You would just do it after we do business?
I think it's 7.4.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to take that one out of order because of the invoices and the dates and everything. So.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then we don't have a form for 7.5, exactly.
At this point, we don't. We always hope.
Okay. So do you want to try to do it before 7.5?
Yes, sir. We can.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have to move 7.1.
Right.
So after we pass the budget.
Right.
If we pass the budget.
Right, so 7.4 or something like that. Okay. So we're going to move on to... Administrator report. 6.1, general activity report. City Administrator David Stahl.
Were you going to take any public comments?
No, we're going to move on. We're going to do it after
okay.
We discuss the budget.
All right. I didn't know for both the hearing and the public comments. The only thing I have this evening to report is that we continue to have telephone line issues that are impacting us. We didn't have telephone service for about half the day. We had internet service for about three quarters of the day. And there's also no email, so it was challenging. We also had a system error for some device on our network, started conflicting with our network printer, and it shut our network printer down virtually all day today. And that's all I have.
Okay, moving on to 7.0 business, we're going to go on to 7.2. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-210 requiring the city to post check registers for each city checking account on the city website. Alderman Jennings.
Yeah, I make a motion that we approve resolution 2016-210 requiring the city to post check registers for each city checking account on the city website, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date herein.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-210 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles. Do we have discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Are you guys voting?
I'll abstain.
Okay, and you?
Abstain.
Okay, so we have Jennings, for the ayes, and then we have Bowles and McCown. Does that mean it passes when they sustain like that?
No, it fails.
It fails. Okay, so it fails for lack of hope. So we're going to move on to 7.3, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-223.
I make a motion.
Go ahead. Ending the use of a city online message board in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 551.006. Bowles.
Make a motion to consider
approval of ordinance number 2016-223, ending the use of the city online message board in accordance with the Texas Government Code, section 551.006.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-223 brought by Alderman Bowles. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by McCown. Do we have discussion?
I've asked to put a stop to the message board that the council uses. My reasoning behind it is that none of us seem to know how to use it and use it properly. I think any business that we need to conduct shouldn't be online. I think we need to do it here. That's what the meetings are for. So that's why I asked to let's just do away with it and carry on business as we should.
Okay, we're
going to
start down here. Alderman
James,
do you have anything
to add? This is a tough one. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Sorry. Apologize.
Obviously, I voted for this when it passed the first time. I think it could be useful, but unfortunately, like Alderman Bowles said, we haven't used it. I don't know that that's a reason to get rid of it, but we certainly haven't used it the way it's supposed to. And it has, for some reason, people have stopped coming to meetings. And I don't know what I'm going to do here. Thanks.
McCown?
Since the message board has been started, I have yet to post anything on it. Most of the times, whenever I do read it, there have been some good and informative messages on our message boards, and a lot of time I've seen a lot of hostility and just pure ugliness. So, and that would be a majority of the time. So, at this point, I'm not for the message board at all right now.
Okay. Anything else to add? Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimously?
Nay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, Alderman Jennings votes against it, and Bowles and McCown vote for it. It passes.
Just a question about the message board. You don't have them. I don't get them.
We're going to have public comments in just a few minutes, and at that time, you'll be able to. It'll be open for discussion because it's a public hearing, also. So we should be able to respond to you as well.
Okay, 7.4, discussion, consideration, and action to adopt ordinance number 2016-227, establishing the general fund and utility fund operating budget for the fiscal year 2015-2016.
My budget has been posted on the bulletin board system. I think these guys may have some ideas or some changes that they want to make. What I did do was I took out a lot of the fluff. I went through and looked at what we actually spent, and that's what I budgeted for this year. The PD and Davis all both provided budgets for their departments, which I incorporated in here. The only thing that I did not add were raises for the PD, and that was because I wanted to do the OSSI system, which allows us to do our uniform crime reports every month. It also, you know, it gives a little bit more safety for our officers, but it also allows us to apply for grants, something that we haven't been able to do for a long time. So because we've given raises last year, I did take the raises out and put the OSSI system in there, in hopes that it would help us collect on our warrants, and it would also enable us to get grants down the line, and it would also, I think, make Chief Harrison's job a little bit easier when it comes to the monthly crime report. It is a balanced budget based on the effective rate with no tax increase. I'm going to let these guys have it after here because I think that they probably have some changes that they would like to see. So I start with Alderman Jennings.
I think we need to make a motion so that we can discuss it properly. Is that correct?
Yeah, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt ordinance 2016-227, an ordinance adopting the operating budget and the capital budget for the city of Shore Acres for the fiscal year, commencing on October 1st, 2016, and ending on September 30th, 2017, and providing for a severability clause.
Do we have a second?
Second.
There was a motion to adopt ordinance number 2016-227 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. You will have discussion.
I do have a number of questions. In your opening, you said that it was a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the utility fund, it's a deficit spending budget by about
$74,858.86.
Page UF28, you're spending $74,858.86 more. And so that's something out of the reserves.
I think overall what happens is we, all I did was I went in and I had requested this information 6 weeks prior to. I didn't get all of the completed information or all of the projected end of years or even the through 6/30 numbers until a couple of days before you guys wanted this budget. So basically what I did was I went in, I took out, like if you look at some of these line items,
I understand.
I only have this budget has been out for a month and a half, and I don't really have my notes on me. I've asked to discuss it on the bulletin board system. I've asked to. I've even called a workshop for the budget, which you three did not attend. So then I went to the bulletin board system and tried to discuss it. At that point, nobody wanted to discuss it, and then here we are, kind of questioning things. Like I said, I know that. That David Stoll and Bowles and Jennings, you guys had all had a meeting up at City Hall. I believe that was to go over budgets and things like that. So I'm assuming because you guys are wanting to increase the tax rate or propose an increase in taxes, do you guys have some changes that you want to make? If you go to... sometimes we have to... we have to wait for our tax money to come in and stuff, so there may be... we may have to borrow some money from our savings, but then it'll go back in February when we collect our taxes. It is a balanced budget. It's based on the effective rate. It doesn't have a lot of flaws, so any changes that or any additional spending will have to be approved by council, and that was my main goal, was to take out all of the inflated numbers and force any type of amendments to go or extra spending to go through council for approval.
Okay, if I just might correct a little bit of what you said. That's what happens when you assume things. You assume we're going to raise taxes. You said that the three of us weren't at a meeting. In fact, the three of us were the only ones at a budget meeting that was, budget workshop meeting that was called about this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a motion to amend. I'm going to make a motion to amend the ordinance, Section 1, budget adoption, where it says Attachment A. I'm going to make a motion to substitute. A motion to amend by striking out, well, it's not even striking out, a motion to amend by substituting a line item worksheet called FY16-17 Budget DJ-1012 for the mayor's budget, which is titled FY16-17 Budget 825-06-2 Sanford Provision 2016-08-25-2055.
I'll second.
Okay. Now, I have a lot of things to say here, but first, here is the, you'll pass these down. These are the amended items, line items. And I've also made a handout for the people that are attending tonight so that we can go through this and do the best we can, which is why I also asked that the conferences and comments be moved for afterwards. Mr. Stahl, you'll prepare the presentation. And yes, I have worked with Alderman Bowles on this because we're given a choice. I can't work with more than one alderman. Yes, I did work with Alderman Bowles on this, and we came up with what I'm calling the Jennings Bowles proposed budget. And we did talk to Mr. Stahl, we did talk to Chief Harrison, and we did talk to Eric Ingram, the Public Works Director. And there are a lot of things that we need to get right. There's been a lot of things that have been said, and they're just not true. And so I hope tonight to clear up a lot of things. And it's a shame that the other aldermen aren't here. It's a shame that we didn't all work together preparing a budget, because it could well be better. I don't know. But Alderman Bowles, we did the best we could. And I think that the citizens will be very pleased with this, because we listened to their thoughts and motives and terms, and this is what we've come up with. Here's the financial highlights. No tax increase. None. Nada. It's the exact same tax rate as the mayor's budget. The difference is, it is not deficit budgeting. We went through and we cut hard. And the Jennings Bowles General Fund is balanced. The Jennings Bowles Utility Fund is balanced. The Jennings Bowles reserves are protected. We are no longer going to draw from our reserves. The mayor's budget continues to draw from the reserves, as we just demonstrated, $75,000.
Yeah.
The employees. The best asset the city has are our employees. And the Jennings budget, Jennings Bowles budget, gives all city employees a cost of living raise of 1%. Now, for years, the city didn't give employees cost of living adjustments, and we got in our trouble last year, and we had to try to catch up in 1 year, and that's why everyone got a 4% raise, and the people around us are saying, well, you know, nobody's getting 4% raises these days, but that was because for 4 or 5 years we didn't get any raises. And so to prevent falling behind, yearly COLAs are necessary. If we want to keep a stable and productive workforce, they are necessary. And I'm not talking about merit increase. I'm talking about cost of living adjustments. And this year's consumer price index for our region, which is called the CPI-U, is 0.9%. In other words, and that's at the end of August. They have not put out the end of September numbers yet. It may go to 0.8, it may stay at 0.9, it may go to 1, but it's going to be in that range. It's not going to change a lot. And so all you have to do is go to the Bureau of Labor Standards, click on the Houston, Galveston area region, and you'll find the CPIU is 0.9%. So we settled on an overall cost of living allowance increase of 1% across the board. The mayor's budget gives no cost of living adjustment to police officers. And I was just shocked when I saw that. Now, honestly, that just made no sense to me. Here's what we're doing with the police budget. Both of our budgets, the mayor just talked about the OSSI system. It's a very good system. We need it. Both of our budgets include that. What it does, it says and when the officers are in their vehicles, and you may have questions for Chief Hunter Harrison later that he can explain in more detail. But what it does, it provides real-time interaction with dispatch. It increases the safety of our officers. And we may live in little bitty shore acres, but let me tell you what, domestic disputes are the worst of the worst when it comes to officer safety. And pulling over cars in the middle of the night, walking up to it, this provides real-time information to dispatch, GPS coordinates, real immediate lookup of criminal histories, warrants, and it's part of the League City Consortium. Most of the agencies around here participate. There will be an ongoing cost to that. A yearly cost. Nassau Bay, which is the closest to our particular size, their budget this year for that program is about $1,800. So by doing this, we are increasing costs later on. But it's well worth it. It's a very small investment to make. Also, what we did, the Jennings Bowles budget, we invest $13,500 for 3 in-vehicle radar systems. The 3 new Tahoes that we have, Well, none of our vehicles have in vehicle radar systems. So we have one handheld unit that the officers all got to share, and they hand it back and forth. And then if they want to go and catch a speeder, they got to go park somewhere, sit, and do that. This enables officers to stop speeders on our streets, increasing safety while they're patrolling. It doesn't take them off patrol. They do it while they're patrolling. Much more effective than that handheld unit that they share. And effective enforcement of speed limits has been proven to decrease overall crime. I mean, time and again, and Chief can tell you this at any time, all studies say that if you stop the little crimes, the big crimes won't come. So we provide for that. And again, we provide a cost of living increase for our officers because I think our officers are extremely dedicated employees and valuable employees, and I can't imagine not giving them a cost of living adjustment. Parks. The quality of life is second only to public safety in surveys when you rank communities. Our Parks Committee, I don't know if you guys have noticed, our Parks Committee has really stepped up this year, and they've made a lot of strides in making some good improvements. They're meeting, they're active. The Shell Beach bollards to prevent vehicle traffic. I don't know if y'all have been down to Shell Beach, but last week they finished that in 132 feet, I think it was, of cable stretched with bollards in between to prevent vehicles from driving out to the beach like they have been. They scheduled work days to clean the park. They scheduled work days at Heron Park and at Shell Beach. And they've taken the initiative, and we wouldn't have known about this without their recommendations, that they needed a topographical survey so they could seek outside grants. So the city paid, I think, was it, David, $2,700, I believe, to have a topographical survey of Circle Park so that the Parks Committee and Kay Pickett in particular can approach Fort Houston and other entities for grants, and that way we can improve our parks with outside funding. So that was a small price for us to pay up front. That's just an example of what they do. And then our budget supports their work by doubling spending for park improvements. We've gone from $10,000 a year to $20,000 a year. And the committee will provide, obviously the committee will have to provide council with suggestions for that, which is what they did last year, and it was very effective. So we support the committee, we see their work, we see the improvements they're making, and we want to continue on with that.
Can I ask you a question? Sorry, I'll ask them.
Go ahead.
The parks funding, is there any way that we could, you know, in the budget it'll show that we budget $12,500 and then, you know, the through 6/30/2016 numbers are very low, but then the projected end of year is the full amount budgeted. Is there any way that we could somehow roll what we budgeted over for parks over or do some sort of donation of those funds that are left over to the park so that we can build a nest egg so that
no.
we could actually buy?
No, that's a fiscal year thing.
Okay. There's no way the city can do like a charitable contribution to the parks department?
We can if we put it in this year's budget.
Okay, so like at the end of the year, let's say that we have $20,000 budgeted and we only spend $10,000, will we be able to roll that over so that next year when we budget, we'll have that extra $10,000?
No, what you would have to do in that point is make a budget addendum of the last fiscal year. We would have to do that before September 30th and say, we're going to spend this money on this.
Okay, because you know how playground equipment is so expensive, and we've been trying to get there, but at the end of the year, the money's gone, and we have to start from zero again.
That's one of the problems with the way we've been budgeted for a long time, which is why we tried to go away from that this year. And we stripped this budget of basically everything. We cut hard, mm-hmm. and you'll see in the end, we did cut hard. It sounds like maybe somebody's thinking, oh, my gosh, they're spending more money. But actually, you'll see during the end, we spend the same amount of money as the mayor's budget. We just allocate it differently.
Yeah, because there were also a lot of other areas that probably could have been cut back. But I'm guessing that that's what y'all did. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt
okay.
you.
Anytime. Anybody else have a question? Stop me and ask. Public Works. Our budget doubles the annual spending for drainage, ditch, silt removal. One of the things that we've heard for a long time is the city doesn't do drainages. Well, Matter of fact, the city does, but it's a limited amount each year. The average for the last 5 years has been about $13,000 a year. We budget $10,000, but the average over the last five, this year I think we spent right at the 10, right, David?
Yeah.
I think right at the 10. But we budgeted that $10,000. So this year we doubled that to $20,000 so that we give Mr. Stahl an opportunity to get more streets done. I think he's done a great job with the limited resource we've given him. But I think by doubling that, then there's core services that the city has to provide, and this is one of those. So I think it's another very good expenditure of city funds because it's in the core services of what the city needs to be doing.
Doesn't this also, by maintaining those drainage, doesn't that earn us points for FEMA so that it can reduce our insurance rates? We were talking about that Monday as far as it did the drainage.
Yes, yeah, so we get that credit now.
For doing this? Oh, great. Okay. That's awesome.
The only question I have though is that I would like to request that we start at the outlet of the drainage when we clean those out and come back the other way. And the reason being is because the outfall is the most important. And if you clean that first, then even the water that's upstream of that, if it holds up for a little while, won't overflood the downstream. In other words, where it goes out to the slough is more important than back over on one of the other streets.
Okay, and for the record, that was Paul Gerson from 604 Forest, if I recall.
Yes.
just remember, this is being recorded, so state your name.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's but yes, and that's a something for Mr. Stahl and Mr. Ingram to look at whenever they schedule this stuff. But the main point that we want to get across is we're giving them more resources to do more, and to do more ditches because again, we believe that's a core function of the city. Here's the spending comparison. Like I said, it sounded like we were spending more because we were. And actually, Mayor Sanford could do the same thing as she promoted her budget the same way. It just sounds different when you say it. We spend in the general fund about $41,000 more, $41,394, and in the utility fund, this particular budget, proposed budget, spends $38,972 less. And then that's after, of course, adjusting for the increased trash pickup costs that we're all going to face. So out of a $2,100,000 budget, the difference is $2,400 or 0.1%. Like I said, they're basically equal in spending. The effect on the reserves, the mayor's spending decreased those reserves by a total of $71,686 because she had a negative on her general fund and the Jennings Bowles balanced budget. It's basically even, $610 back in the reserves, but I'll just call that even. And so here's what we tried to do. When we asked questions, we listened. We did listen to you guys when you came and testified. We did, really. And we listened to the employees. And securing the future, so the budget as proposed by Alderman Bowles and myself, stops the deficit budgeting and it protects reserves. No tax increase. We use, again, the effective tax rate. And what the effective tax rate is, if you don't know, it just means that it's a tax rate that necessary this year for the city to take in the same amount of money as they did last year. So there's no tax increase. And both budgets use that, so that's really a wash. Protects our employees with the cost of living increase, all our employees. It increases the safety of our police officers with the items we talked about. It also increases public safety with the in-vehicle radar systems. It improves our parks. This is an opportunity to improve our parks and our city drainage. And gives us the key to all this is we have to make this city attractive to people that want to live here, to buy into our city, to build new houses, to buy existing houses. So this gives us, and Alderman Bowles and I, we talked about this for a long time. It gives us a foundation to start that process. Now, is this a miracle cure-all for all the Ellsworth acres? Of course not. It's a yearly budget. It's a one-year budget. But it's a budget that we're pretty, well, at least I'm pretty proud of it. And I'll let Alderman Bowles take it from here.
I just feel like we had to do this. It's, you know, whether we come across as a bad guy or whatever, I just feel like we need to balance it and make sure that we take care of everybody, take care of our business. I mean, if you're paying your water bill, your money needs to go to the water bill. I mean, we don't need to borrow from the general fund to cover that. That was a big concern when, you know, you get out and people see me driving around and I'm on my golf cart and I talk to people. And it's always been a concern. You know, we want to be able to turn our water on, turn it off, have it, that sort of thing. And, you know, the big thing for me was the safety of our police officers. I just felt like we had to do that. That's our little hidden gem here. It's good to live in Shore Acres. Chief Harrison and all the guys, they keep an eye on the place. And we got to take care of everybody that's here. But, I mean, it's our police officers. They're keeping us safe. And this is just a fantastic place to live. And I felt like we had to take care of them and along with everyone else. I mean, it had to be done. It had to be done. We had to try something different this time just to see what we can do. And, you know, and if it's not popular, if it doesn't work, what we have next year. But Mr. Jennings spent a lot of time on this, back and forth about it, and, you know, talking to city employees to figure out what do we need. We talked to Mr. Stahl, Chief Harrison, and Eric, and, you know, I think we're going to cover our bases pretty well with it. So that's all I have.
McCown, do you have anything?
One of the things that everything on the list that the Jennings Bowles budget has presented, I really do like. However, one of the things that we've accomplished as a city this year, more so than anything else, is the telecommunications with the inner departments for the police officers, because that's instant. So if there's a bad guy that now comes to our city and he's from Deer Park, Friendswood, Pearland, Alvin, or Galveston, when they type in his name, our officers will get the full rap sheet on him immediately, the latest arrest, all the vehicles, who he runs with, who the bad guys, I mean, it's a complete detailed list they get immediately versus where before they've been flying by the seat of their pants and they're lucky that no one was shot, especially with the world that we live in today with everyone wanting to shoot police officers. The only thing that you're getting that I'm not real happy about, but that's me personally, because I know that my girls are going to get pulled over with the new moving radars. I'm sure they're going to get popped pretty regularly. So other than that, I'm very happy the fact that for UT, if this passes, that you get the communications for all your officers for the safety. So.
Well, it'll also help us collect on our warrants. So I wonder if it gets, it'll put them over into LaPorte and other counties and things like that. So if someone, we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of outstanding warrants, and they don't really leave Shore Acres, do they?
Yep.
So, okay. All right. I like the budget. I think it's great. So I guess we're going to vote. We're voting on a motion to amend it.
Can we let them?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, and we're back. I'm Neil Moore, 1118 North Country Club Drive. As has been inferred, the budget is a policy document. And I'll speak on a couple of points here. One of the policies which has been dropped for several years is remedial repairs of our infrastructure. In particular, I'll just focus on water lines. Water lines is where the city has made its greatest savings in loss of water. Water which everybody was paying for, even though it wasn't getting to their meters. There's no capital in this budget for the list of water lines which Public Works and the city administrator have, which we have last year, the previous mayor made an unconscious decision to not put any money in the capital for the piping. Yeah, we may have the staff that can do it, we may be able to pay for that. If we haven't got the money in the budget to pay for the piping, we've made a policy there. It's like the water line comes to your home, past your meter. You can fix that. Because you're paying for that water. It's not getting to your house. I've made this point. I think the budget, for a small amount, I'm going to say $50,000, should put that policy back in place so the city can pursue a regular program of fixing water lines that we know or suspect are a problem. $150,000 out of a $2-plus million budget is not a whole lot, but it sets a policy, an important policy. Second point, I'm going to speak about the radar units. Alderman McCowan has somewhat flippantly on average, there's 1.5 cars on the street from the police department at any one time. That means that with 3 radar units, there's essentially 2 of them that are sitting there, not being used, not available. Who will spend the money on it? I know there may have been representations made about revenues that could be raised from warrants and citations, but that's pretty much pie in the sky. I recommend that of the $13,500 for the 3 units, that let's cut it back to 1 unit. It can be deployed by the chief appropriately. Remember, our police department is there for deterrence. The fact that they're on the streets, whether how they're equipped or not, is deterrent to speeding, to other crime. So if you did that, there would be a small but meaningful reduction, and it's a policy issue. I think you should give that serious consideration on both points. I sometimes think that we're all participating in another episode of South Park, and really, that shouldn't be the case. Every time this council meets, all the time it meets, it should be making policy that can be implemented, making policy that carries the city forward, not just treads water. We've been treading water, we've been behind for many, many years. Let's do the right thing. Let's put some money in there for water line repairs, for capital. Let's deal with the policy of speed enforcement in a more fiscally reasonable town method. Thank you.
Brenda Brown, 631 Fairfield. On the radar for the cars, I've lived here for close to 30 years, and I used to see the police a couple of times a day up and down my street. I never see them. And I have a sign right by my mailbox that says 20 miles an hour. Nobody goes 20 miles an hour down that road. And there's never any police out there. They used to, when Elvis was here, he used to park in the people's driveways. And when they'd go speeding down the street, he'd pull out and talk to them. If they were going too fast, he'd write them a ticket. But that stopped it for a long time. And I think just the police presence out there will do a lot to cut down the speeding. That's all I have to say. But I don't think we need 3 meters either. And what would you do with the other one, the handheld one?
The extra?
Yeah.
4 cars.
There's 4 cars?
Yeah.
And we never see them?
I see
them always up here. I'm sorry, but...
On the radar guns, the new radars, they're hardwired in. They used to have them where they were portable from patrol car to patrol car. And with the city of LaPorte, we realized when we would take them out of a car and move them one car to another, plugging them in, plugging them out, dropping them, versus the hardwire, it was costing us more to send them back to the dealership in San Antonio and wait 3 to 6 months to get them repaired than it was just to leave them in the car. So we started hardwiring them in LaPorte. The other thing about the handheld is when you work a handheld, you have to be stationary. If you're stationary, you can't patrol. If you can't patrol, you can't protect the city. So that's the biggest or the worst thing about a handheld radar. You can clock people, but whenever someone sees it, then they go, okay, if he's over here working radar and writing tickets, then the rest of the city's unmanned. Whereas with the moving radars and all the cars, every time that car's moving, it's catching front and back. And some of the new lasers will catch out as far as a half a mile. So by the time you see me, I've already got you locked in. And some of them also now have the camera where it locks in the car, and once you put the dot, like on a scope, on the front of that car, it's radaring and recording it the whole time, so it's evidence for court. So it's going to be cheaper in the long run to put them in all cars and leave them versus trying to remove them.
But if all the cars are going to be on the road, why do they all need it?
They don't share cars.
Because if you take one car and put the radar in it and use that car completely, you're going to wear that car out. Because you want to work radar 24. I guess that's how cheap ones are running. But each car gets a rest period. If you don't, you're going to wear it out. And the life expectancy of that car from 3 years, it will be 3 years from about 5 to 6 years what we have right now with the Tahoes, or should be, because those Tahoes are great cars. Everything that we're going to over in La Porte are the Tahoes because of the fact that we run them 8 hours hard, then they rest too, then we run them. But if we run them like we used to do.
Swearers doesn't run their cars hard like La Porte.
Ma'am?
Swearers doesn't run their cars hard like La Porte.
The engines, when they run the whole time, idling is the worst part of a car, as long as it continues to move. And the aspect of the moving radars is the fact that I can work radar and I can still observe everything that's going on, looking for bad guys, looking for burglars, looking for family disturbances, looking for violators. So it's actually a plus for us in the long run.
The other side of it is, if we have a car that's down, one that needs repair, if we put it in one and it's out, then you got a handheld and we're back to where we're having to park somewhere and shoot. So that's the other issue with it. So that's what we were, you know, what we looked at when we were doing this, is that keep them in all. If we have one that's down.
It's just hard for me to believe a city our size needs three of them.
Well, we need to realize too, sometimes we have two officers on it. We want somebody going, you know, down on 146, watching that, going through the neighborhoods.
Well, yeah, I agree. One needs to be down there.
So.
Well, anytime the car's moving with the moving radar, we're clocking. The only way we can do a handheld is to be stationary. We cannot be moving at all because it gives a false reading if it'll even read. So that's why everyone's completely, for the most part, got away from it. If you have a dedicated school zone car like we do, we have some of our DOT officers, before they go work DOT, they have a stationary spot and different, they draw for their location in La Porte, and they go to that location with their handheld. So they have 9 locations in La Porte. They grab the handheld and they sit in the school zones for an hour, hour and a half before they go work DOT. But each day they have a different spot, and when they draw that number, that's where they go and they stay. But that's perfect for a handheld because that's their assignment for school zone only. But the moving radars is for continuum patrol, active patrol, progressive patrol, not reactive, progressive. When you were talking about the speed limit with the 20 miles an hour in front of your speed limit with the moving patrol cars, they'll be able to clock them as soon as they show up. When I see them, the radar has them.
But they have, they can do it from not even being on my street?
Okay.
Because I don't see police on my street.
Okay, well, that's going to be something that's going to have to be addressed with chief to, you know, get more vehicles or higher visibility. But if he's working handheld radar like we've been doing, he can't be on your street, because the only way we can work radar is to be stationary. Right. So we're trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Police being visible through the city deters a lot of speeding and anything like that, more than people worrying about getting a ticket. Because sometimes you just accidentally speed and you don't mean to. And, you know, if you get caught by radar, you're going to get a ticket.
Not necessarily. It's officer's discretion. 90% of the time is violator confrontation, whether I write a ticket or not. 90% of the time I don't write for a ticket. If someone gets out of the car hostile and starts using vulgar language to me, most likely he's going to get a ticket. If we have a real good interaction and he seems like he wasn't paying attention, he goes, "You know, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. You know what? Just slow down. You're in my community." Fair enough. Here's your driver's license. Have a nice day. There's nowhere that says we have to write a ticket.
Yeah, but you know, Shoreacres has a bad reputation for being a speed trap to the freeway got built. In the state of Texas, we have a reputation.
Right. Well, I think the speed trap thing's been going on for a long time. But to answer a couple of questions, the money for water line repairs, we certainly have money for water line repairs in the budget. Matter of fact, it's 2.5 times what we had last time for the equipment for that. So yes, we have the labor to do it, and we also have the piping to repair that. There's not a single person I talked to that wanted radars to raise revenue. This is not the thing. It's public safety. And only public safety, as Jerome will just say, chief will tell you the same thing. 99% of the time, they're going to stop somebody for speeding. And if there's no warrant, or if they're not hostile in case of Jerome's example, they're going to get a warning, be told to slow down. What that does is, over time, that prevents that speeding and makes your community safer. We're not talking about patrols tonight, but I must be lucky because I see them 2 to 3 times a day come down my street. I live on West Country, West Forest, and I see them 2 to 3 times a day. So maybe I'm just lucky in that regard.
I have one question. On 6245-70 for maintenance and supplies, shows that we're budgeting $27,000, yep, and our projected for last year was $10,000. What are we spending that on?
That's the piping and the valves and such that the city needs to repair those lines.
Okay.
And you just pointed out the 2.5 times.
Right. Okay.
Can you verify that $4,500 a piece, not $13,500 a piece, right?
That's total.
Do
you want to
vote? Any more questions?
No, I have.
You might
have.
Yeah,
we have one more.
Just some comments. All Greason, 604 Forest Avenue, right on the Lake Forest, right there at Lake Forest. I had a couple questions. I looked through the budget. I don't know if I have the right one or not. It says, it was on there and it said what we had for year 2016-17 budget.
I
don't know if that was the one that just I probably can give you a comment on that. On the UF-26, we showed under maintenance supplies in general, we showed a budget for the 2015-2016 of $3,000. It is $630. We have spent $43,527. And projected was $43,527, and we're budgeting $3,000 again for next year. Is that just an error?
There will be a reversing transaction.
Yeah.
Actually,
the one that he just gave you is really the number that you should look at because that's the one I think that they're trying to substitute.
Those numbers will be the same though for prior year, and that was because we had sewer line failure on West Country Club. And prior to contracting for the repair, we did bypass pumping and took other extraordinary measures, and then came out of that line item. That's what overran now.
Okay. I just wondered if we were overlooking something there or if this was an anomaly for one time.
No, we just don't have a crystal ball. We don't have a major failure like that. So those line items are up for the smaller routine failures, and we just got whacked with that.
We have some contingency in there for that, I assume. Or since our lines are old?
We typically do not. In the years past, we put contingency in, but as we tightened up the budget, we took contingency out. When there is a failure, the council does have the ability to do an emergency budget amendment, and that was what was done to accomplish the repair work, and that's what we would have to do again if we had a major failure.
Okay. In the last meeting, I had asked what was the tax rate that we were using, and it's 0.765505 per 100, and that's what it's going to stay. We're talking about not raising that.
That's our current tax rate. And the effective tax rate is 781354. And the reason for that difference is that we added homeowners exemptions. Remember when we talked about this when we voted on homeowner exemptions? Homeowners now have an exemption. Under 65 homeowners now have an exemption. They never did. 65 and over homeowners, your taxes are frozen forever.
Are these homestead exemptions you're
yes.
talking about? So people get homestead exemptions?
Yes.
Coming starting this year?
Yes.
And
if you're over 65, your taxes are frozen forever.
Hallelujah.
As long as you don't do capital improvements to your home,
like
an addition or something on it, it's frozen. If you're disabled, we added, it went from a $7,000 state exemption to a $60,000 city homestead exemption. So that's why the tax rate looks different, but if you calculate your individual rate, it's going to be the same tax as last year on an average basis for the city as a whole. So there is no tax increase.
Okay. Okay, the other thing was just going through and looking at some items in there. I'm glad y'all went through and cut the budget a little bit, but I was looking at just office supplies in general because that's one of the ones that kind of jumps out at you.
There's in three departments that jumped out at me too. It's like during all the way through the middle of the year, we don't spend the money, and then it looks like at the end of the year, they're projected to spend all of it, like we're going on a shopping spree or something. I don't know what the answer is to that. I've posted it on the bulletin board system. Maybe Mr. Stahl can explain.
Yeah, our office supply line item is not your rubber bands and staples and pens. It certainly includes that paper, but it also includes office furniture, and it includes the computers. And that line item, like many line items, we try to go the whole year and keep that spending down. We don't know when a computer is going to fail. We are very frugal, and so we don't do preemptive replacement. We wait until they develop the issue. If they don't develop an issue, then we may not replace it at all. And the same thing, we defer office furniture, which also comes out of that line item. And so there may be a desk or a file cabinet that's been requested, and we hold off to make sure we don't have to use the money for a computer, and then we'll buy a file cabinet at the end of the year. So we really are stretching that, and the function of seeing it go to the end, we don't spend all the money at the end. Actually, we really do a good job, department by department, coming in well under budget at the end of the year. But we do defer some purchases to the fourth quarter, and they show up late.
That is also one of the categories that we cut pretty harsh.
Okay, I can see that, because if you look overall and add them up, the ones that you can total, it's like $20,000 for the
expenses. Supplies. Yeah.
Now, like you say, maybe we cut back on the massage chairs or something like that, but just kidding. Other than that, I appreciate y'all taking the time and going through this when y'all went through it to make some cuts and so forth, and I'll certainly look at the other one too.
Is there anybody else? So we're voting on a motion to amend, brought by Jennings, seconded by Bowles, and we're amending it by substituting the Alderman Bowles, or Alderman Jennings and Bowles budget, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are, I read the file names earlier, but it's FY16-17 budget DJ-1012, and there's this from Mayor Sanford.
Okay. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Can it pass unanimously? Okay. So we're going to go on. Now, do I need to go back and adopt that resolution?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The
ordinance. So we have a motion to adopt ordinance number 2016-227, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
It passes unanimously. Okay, we're going to go on to. Now we're going to go back to 7.1 invoices, correct? Okay, so 7.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. Pay the invoices.
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve invoices, brought by Jennings, seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. We're going to move on to the last item. 7.6, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-211, providing a meeting of the City Council to be held on Monday, October 17th, brought by Jennings. Do we have a motion?
I'm tired of meeting. As Jerome said, we meet more than some religions, but we need to try to adopt a tax rate. We got to have four council members here to do that. And so I'll make a motion to have a meeting on Monday, October 17th.
Second.
Resolution 2016-211.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-211, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by McCown. Do we need discussion, or do y'all want to just vote?
I just want to hear just one person come so we can get this done.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. That's the first time saying that word. If there's no other business, we will adjourn. my phone is dead, so somebody will have.
7:54.
We adjourn at 7:54.